puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it doesn't happen often. I don't think it's happened at all. For once, I think I might know what Gordon Goldsborough is referring to in this week's Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us what the clue was from last week.
Well, I said that when we think about the word shed, we typically envision a simple building in which we might store things like tools and other equipment. But this week, we are talking about immigration sheds.
Okay, so what's an immigration shed?
It's a building that provides temporary, short-term, usually free accommodation, usually supported by some level of government, for new immigrants. And such sheds were very common in the early days of Manitoba in the 1870s, 1880s, you know, when literally scores of people began flooding in from all corners of the world.
And why are they called sheds?
Well, you know, they were a building, but very modest ones. They had no floors, they had no furniture, just basically four walls and a roof. They weren't heated, so they really only could be used in the summer. The level of hygiene was exceptionally low, so it was not uncommon for infectious diseases, for instance, to run rampant in the sheds.
So why were they used? Like, were there no hotels at the time?
Well, there were, and the hotels provided a higher level of comfort, but, you know, they had a singular disadvantage of being, well, not free. Many immigrants arrived with little but the clothes on their backs, so the whole notion of a hotel were completely outside their means. And in fact, what's interesting is that the primary occupants of these immigrant sheds were typically women and children.
And why was that?
Well, when families arrived here, you know, many of them intended to take up a farm somewhere in rural Manitoba. So the men of the family would fan out across the province, looking at areas that were available for settlement, while the other members stayed behind at the immigration shed, you know, and it could be for periods ranging from a few days to maybe a few weeks, sometimes longer, till their menfolk are returned. There wasn't very much in the way of meaningful work to do at the sheds or recreation to occupy their time. Local clergy did sometimes visit to offer religious services. And of course, not surprisingly, doctors visited frequently to deal with various medical problems that arose there.
And where were the sheds located?
Winnipeg's two original immigration sheds were located at the Forks, close to the site of today's Children's Museum. They were built in 1872 and 1873, two of them. And they were fairly modest one-story structures, 150 feet long and 30 feet wide, divided into 30 compartments, each measuring about 150 square feet. And each compartment was intended for one family. Now think about that. Potentially, you know, six or more people crammed into just 150 square feet, you know, just barbaric. Nearby, there were smaller buildings that had wood stoves so that you could cook. You know, the idea was to reduce the risk of fire, that those little buildings might burn down, but not the sheds themselves. The sheds, well, they contained, in addition to these rooms for the families, a small room that had a well and a pump in the center with sort of wooden troughs around the walls. And they were for washing people in clothes. You know, just altogether just sounds like a horrific experience in these sheds.
Are there any surviving immigration sheds?
Well, because they were intended to provide temporary accommodations, the buildings weren't ever built for longevity. So, in fact, the original sheds in Winnipeg were demolished in 1884, you know, literally only a dozen years after they were built. And they were replaced by somewhat more permanent buildings, all of which are gone today. But those buildings were renamed immigration halls. Oh, doesn't that just sound a little bit more friendly?
Right.
And I guess the idea was that they did offer a somewhat higher level of creature comfort. But to my knowledge, there are no remaining immigration sheds in Manitoba. And I think that's probably just as well.
So is there anything then to remind us of this early immigrant experience?
Yes, there are. There is at least two monuments in Manitoba that I'm aware of for immigrant sheds. One of them is located about a mile south of Niverville in southeastern Manitoba. And it reminds us of a cold, wet day in August 1874, when a steamboat that had traveled up the Red River from the United States arrived at the mouth of the Rat River. Now, its passengers were the first group of 65 Mennonite families to establish farms in what later became known as the East Reserve. And so the families got off the steamboat, they disembarked, and they were taking to four immigration sheds that had been constructed by an Ontario-born Mennonite named Jacob Shantz. Of course, as I said before, the women and the children stayed behind at the sheds while their men headed out in all directions to select sites for things like towns and of course, most importantly, farms.
Now, were they excited at starting a new life in Canada?
Well, you'd like to think so. Of course, they were here to establish a new life for themselves, a prosperous life, hopefully, in Manitoba. I can imagine, though, their enthusiasm must have been quite literally dampened by the immigration sheds. You know, the ones built by Shantz had dirt floors. The roofs leaked when it rained. You know, and yet, during the rest of 1874 and 1875, many more boatloads of Mennonites arrived, some 440 families altogether. And all of them stayed for their first few nights in Manitoba in those Shantz immigration sheds. But in fact, those sheds were very short-lived. By 1875, for example, two of them had been dismantled already.
Why did they not need the living space?
Well, Jacob Shantz believed that arriving settlers the following year, in 1876, would probably prefer to go to the recently established West Reserve, where the soil was perceived as being more fertile. So he didn't think that they needed four sheds in the East Reserve. Well, all of those sheds now are long gone, but in addition to a monument that was erected fairly recently at the site, there is supposedly a small depression where a water well was dug, because initially they didn't even have drinking water at the site. And maybe most tragically, there is supposed to be a small cemetery where more than 30 settlers who died soon after arrival, most of them children, were buried. And unfortunately, that cemetery has not yet been located. Historians hope one day to locate the cemetery using ground-penetrating radar.
So tragic. Were these the only immigration sheds outside of Winnipeg?
No, there actually were others. So one that I'm aware of was south of Riding Mountain National Park in an area covered by dense, you know, almost impenetrable forest, where a group of Swedish immigrants arrived in early 1885. You know, so about a decade after the Mennonites began arriving, they had been given exclusive use of four townships of land on the shore of something called Otter Lake. It's in the vicinity of Erickson, Manitoba. And their community that they established was known, I guess not surprisingly, as Scandinavia. The first two buildings that they constructed on the lakeshore of Otter Lake were a sawmill, of course, to turn all of those trees into usable timber, and an immigration shed. The shed in this case was a little more elaborate, I think, than the ones that would have been built by Shantz. It was a two-story structure, almost 7,000 square feet. So, you know, it's almost palatial in comparison, made out of rough-hewn spruce logs. One half of its main floor was occupied by a store, and the rest was living space.
Is it still there?
No. Again, like a lot of these sheds, they weren't typically built especially well. And in fact, in this area, as the flux of immigrants subsided, the need for a shed waned and it was demolished. But there is a small concrete and stone marker that remains at the site. It is, however, a fairly hard place to find. So I'm actually grateful to one of our listeners, Gord Hamill, who led me to that old site of an immigration shed out in western Manitoba.
Gordon, thank you for this, and thank you, Gord, as well. What's the clue for next week?
Well, you know, when I'm out exploring the province, I take several tools with me, and one of my most important tools for documenting historic sites, I can say confidently, weighs exactly 249 grams. So next week, what is that tool?
All right. Nice one, Gordon. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.